So today we're observing the anniversary of the incorporation of the International Society for God, Krishna Consciousness. Now, somebody suggested to Prabhupada, you know, Americans, they won't understand, well, what is this Krishna? So, better make it God consciousness. So then, so Prabhupada's reply was, then if you make it God consciousness, they will bring so many gods. If you say God, then who is God? You're not saying who is God. And they will bring so many gods. You know, somebody says Shiva is God, someone says Parvati is God. Not Parvati Devi Dasi, Parvati. How did you get the name Parvati? Any Vaishnava named Parvati? Yeah. How did you get? And there are many devotees with Shaivite names. I can't think of some. Mahadeva. Huh? Shivananda. Well, there was Shivananda Sen, right? Lord Chaitanya's follower. So Shivananda.
What about our father, Maharani Kashyapu?
No, I'm talking about devotee getting names of Lord Shiva. How has that happened? Huh?
Hari.
Who's Vaishnava?
Shiva.
Nice try, but that's not the right answer. Where's the water? I need. I don't know, Dharmatma, give me. So, where did Prabhupada get the names for the devotees? He had a list. Yes. Vishnu Sahasranam. So, and Pradyumna was keeping that book and making, you know, supplying names, and Prabhupada would pick from the list. So once upon a time here in Vrindavan, Pradyumna lost the book. So what to do? Prabhupada had to give names. So Pradyumna, you know, so he went to Loy Bazaar, to all the bookshops, and he couldn't find Vishnu Sahasranam. All he could find was Shiva Sahasranam. And he brought that book back. Prabhupada, I couldn't find Vishnu Sahasranam, I can only find Shiva Sahasranam. So Prabhupada said, so what to do? We have to use it. So this is the point. Prabhupada was a utilitarian. You know what utilitarian means? What's a utilitarian? You make use of what you got, even it may not be correct. Whatever is available, you use that for your purpose. The purpose is so important that the means, it doesn't matter. The means is not important, the goal is the important. And Prabhupada demonstrated his utilitarian in the incorporation of ISKCON in New York. Because how it came about, first of all, Prabhupada was talking about incorporating ISKCON even before he started the 22nd Avenue program. When he was on the Bowery, living in a, you know, with a roommate who was taking intoxication. I mean, Prabhupada didn't even have his own place. He had nothing. But he was talking about incorporation to whoever would come and see him. He was having programs in this, they call it a loft. It's a big space, big apartment, and he was talking, and then one of the boys responded that he knew about incorporating. His name was Carl Jurgens, and he was a musician, but he was also involved in social welfare programs and charities and different things. And he had incorporated, he had some experience in incorporating these groups. And he knew a lawyer. He suggested a lawyer. Because to incorporate, to register a society, you need a lawyer to do it. They know all the requirements and so on. All the legalities. So, so by that time, Prabhupada had left, you know the story of how, well, you know, the history of Prabhupada, he arrived on the ship September 30th, 1965, then he went, he had a contact in Pennsylvania, Butler, which is about 10 hours or more drive from New York in the countryside. In Butler, Pennsylvania, he went there, he was an Indian, married to an American, Gopal Agrawal. Prabhupada stayed there for 1 month, so that's September, October. Then after a a month or so, Prabhupada then went to New York. He had a contact in New York. His name was he was a yoga teacher and Dr. Mishra. He wasn't a medical doctor. He was a PhD doctor. And then Prabhupada stayed with him for 1 month on Riverside Drive. You have to know the topography of New York City. Riverside Drive is right on the Hudson River. So that was October, November. Then Prabhupada rented an office on West 72nd Street, for which he was paying the rent, because Prabhupada was selling his books, Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes, which he had brought. And but that was just an office. There was no shower and no kitchen. So Prabhupada had to walk over to Dr. Mishra's apartment to take bath and to prepare to cook his food. So that was October, November, December, then January, then. So Prabhupada was living there, and people were coming. Prabhupada would meet people at Dr. Mishra's yoga group, and he would talk to them, you know, kind of clandestine, because Dr. Mishra didn't want Prabhupada to speak, because Prabhupada, you know, said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Dr. Mishra would tell you, all you people, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is not the Supreme Personality. Everybody's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, except Krishna. That's his philosophy. If everybody's the Supreme Personality, why not Krishna? But oh no, they say, no, no, not Krishna. It's not logical. So, then, anyway, Prabhupada would speak, and then people would come and visit him, and he would have classes, Bhagavad Gita class. And then Prabhupada bought a tape recorder, and then he recorded in February, he recorded the introduction to the Gita Upanishad, and here we have it. Where's Dharmatma? Where's my water? I don't have a bag. That was the first thing Prabhupada recorded. And Prabhupada had a typewriter. Prabhupada brought a typewriter with him from India. Can imagine what it was. Must have been 50 years old. So then in March, someone broke into the office through the window above the door. I don't know how they got in. And then they stole the typewriter and they stole the tape recorder. So Prabhupada was very disturbed by this, and he did not feel comfortable staying there, because who knows, maybe they could come back while he was there and, you know, try to do bodily harm to get money or something. So Prabhupada wanted to leave, so he was telling some of the boys who were coming to see him that I want to leave here. So one of them suggested that he go to the poorest area of New York City, the Bowery. But many young people were living there because the rents were so cheap, and young people, you know, they don't have money. So that's where they were going. So Prabhupada had to agree. So they took him down to the Bowery, and Prabhupada was living the most decrepit, poorest place. In India, you said busti. Busti? What's a busti? Slum. So that's where Prabhupada was staying. And that, and he was immediately, he wanted to, he was talking about registering a society when there was nothing. The people who were coming to see him, they were just curious. They had no attachment or commitment to Prabhupada or what Prabhupada was preaching. They weren't chanting Hare Krishna. They weren't even following the four rules and regulations. So then Prabhupada, he had to live. So this one boy that he was staying with took intoxication and became crazy, mad. And he was threatening Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to run out of the place. So he went and he stayed, I think he stayed with Mukunda at that time, Michael Graham. But that was not very convenient because he had a small place, or he stayed with Carl Jurgens. So it wasn't very convenient because, you know, they had the girlfriend and they wanted to join together. Well, how could they join together when Prabhupada's there in the apartment, you know? So it was very convenient. So Mukunda, he found an advertisement for a shop and an apartment at 26 Second Avenue. So Prabhupada went there, and then he negotiated with the landlord. He made the landlord become a life member, because Prabhupada didn't have enough money for the rent. He was $20 short, so Prabhupada made him a life member. There was no society. A life member of what? Prabhupada said, no, you become life member. You get all our publications. See, Prabhupada started the life member program before there was nothing. So the landlord, his name was Paul Gardner, he agreed. He became a life member, $20 a month, and that was enough for Prabhupada to rent the place. So Prabhupada was still talking about, you know, registering. And so then finally, this lawyer friend, Stephen Goldsmith, he came to Prabhupada, and he was very much attracted to Prabhupada, and he said, I'll do everything to register your society. He had to draw up the papers and so on. So this was going on. In the meantime, Prabhupada was having programs. People were coming. So then, one night at the program, at the end of the program, Stephen Goldsmith was there, you know, amongst the audience. And then Prabhupada said, so, Mr. Goldsmith, you have some announcement to make? And Goldsmith said, yes. And he stood up and he said, I have all the papers to incorporate International Society, and I just need the signatures for the trustees. So the people who were there, you know, they said, you know, what, International Society, what? What is that? All they knew is that, you know, here was this old Swami from India, you know, in a shop talking about Bhagavad Gita and then having this very nice kirtan singing. But that's all they knew. They didn't know International Society or anything. So then Prabhupada said, he started calling out the name. He knew some of the boys by their names. I forget the names. I think Roy, and then James, Mr. Green, and some others. He said, so you can sign. So, you know, Prabhupada was just telling them to sign. They didn't even know what the hell they were signing. And they just signed. They said, well, if the Swami wants it, we'll do it. So they all signed. And Mukunda was one, Michael Grant. And none of them had any commitment to Krishna consciousness. Not one of them was following the four regulative principles. Not one of them was chanting Hare Krishna. Not one of them was offering their food to Krishna. And yet they became the trustees. But then that's how Prabhupada registered this society. So this is the point, how Prabhupada was utilitarian. He used whatever was available. So these people who were practically strangers, Prabhupada used them to register society. That was very important, to register the society. So the history is that Prabhupada registered a society here in India before he ever went to America, before he even came to Vrindavan. when Prabhupada left his family in Calcutta to preach, maybe actually they were in Allahabad, but Prabhupada left and he went to Jhansi. Oh, that's Jhansi. Prabhupada, somehow or other, he got the use of a big complex buildings in Jhansi. We have a temple in Jhansi? We do? Anyone who preaches in Jhansi will get special empowerment. I think immediately you should send half a dozen brahmacharis to Jhansi. Make a big temple there. You can do it, I guarantee it. So this was in 1953. And Prabhupada called it the society, the League of Devotees. So here's the prospectus for the League of Devotees in Jhansi. Can you get the Sanskrit? Can you scroll down? Gargamuni? Yeah. What does it say? Sarva Bhauma Bhagavat Samaj. What is the meaning? Oh, Bhagavat means the whole earth? Oh, Sarva Bhauma. And Bhagavat Samaj?
Society.
What, Haridam? Society of Devotees. Yeah, so League of Devotees. So Prabhupada made the perspective. Incorporated under Society's Registration Act. And the place was called Bharti Bhavan. So I'm going to read. And you see, why this document is important is because, you know, you read this morning, right, from the prospectus of the New York Society with the 7 points, how that came. Actually, Prabhupada didn't write that prospectus. Hayagriva wrote it. But Hayagriva got it because Prabhupada brought this document with him when he went to America. And Prabhupada gave it to Hayagriva and said, you make American version. This document is very long, 16 pages long. So he said, you make a very small, distilling the main points. So, should I read this document? You want to hear this? Huh? Yes? Okay. So, League of Devotees, Prospectus. So when you make a society, you have to have a prospectus. Prospectus is, you know, telling you the main points of what the society, the purpose and the activities and all the description of the society. So people know what they're joining. Then you get membership to your society. So the purpose of establishing an association like the League of Devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhagavat Samaj, on the wish of Om Vishnupad Paramahansa 108 Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj and Thakur Bhaktivinod of Navadvip, West Bengal, is keenly felt a necessary enterprise on the face of the present world situation, with special reference to the degraded and distressed condition of the human being. The human being in general has forgotten his real purpose of life, being too much attracted by the external energy of the Absolute Truth, and as such, he is enamored with the beauty of material nature without any consideration of his spiritual identity. This forgetfulness has begun from a time immemorial, and from that time immemorial, the living entity is transmigrating from one form of body to another by a gradual process of evolution. You see how Prabhupada is preaching and writing? This is 1953. It's not that Prabhupada was preaching when he just came to Vrindavan. Prabhupada was preaching his whole life. When he attains the boon of human life, form of life, human from. See that from? See, this was, this document, first of all, was printed in Allahabad, not in Jhansi. Prabhupada had many contacts in Allahabad because he had his chemist shop there. So, of course, they were doing the hand typesetting. Each letter in metal had to be put in the form. So naturally they're going to make mistakes. And Prabhupada had no one to proofread. So anyway, from means form. The human form of life, when one attains the boon of human form of life, his consciousness is enlightened and developed so much so that he can know himself, this cosmic world, and the Absolute Truth, in caps. In the lives other than the human being, the consciousness of the living entity is enwrapped with the grossest type of materialism, and as such, living entities in that state of existence do not know anything beyond the prime necessities of animal life, namely, eating, sleeping, fearing, and sense gratifying. Human form of life is therefore obtained after a struggle for existence by millions and millions of transmigrating evolutions. And the purpose of this life must not therefore be spoiled in such engagements of animal life as simply by eating, sleeping, fearing, and sense gratifying. The modern trend of human civilization is supposed to be a polished type of animal life. It has improved the method of eating by discovering varieties of palatable dishes. You know, on TV, the most popular programs is the cooking programs. Everybody has cooking programs. And they're all showing you how to cook palatable dishes. And people just want to watch it. Even they're not eating it, they want to watch it. They're so much enamored by palatable dishes. The dog, he's eating the stool. You've seen the dog eating the stool? So the dog is thinking, oh, this is a palatable dish. It has improved the method of sleeping by constructing massive and attractive palatial buildings and resting places, provided with well-furnished couches and sleeping bedsteads. Prabhupada gives a very good description. This is your life. This is modern civilization. I know that in Africa, even here in India, the makers of the mattresses, the mattress makers, you know, the mattress you sleep on, they have a hard time selling the mattresses because people are accustomed to just sleeping on the floor with a mat. Do you have a mattress? How do you sleep? On the mat. But that's because you are renounced brahmachari. But even people in general, in many countries, they sleep on the floor, on the mat. No problem. Does it mean because they sleep on the floor they're not sleeping good? Huh? Do you have a problem sleeping on the floor? But they make it, no, you have to have very comfortable beds. Even they have mattresses that are filled with water. So that's not required, but this is what modern civilization tells you. You have to have very soft and comfortable bed if you want to sleep good. Actually, who?
That's true. He used to sell mattresses.
Oh yeah, the futon man.
Yeah. I used to sell futon.
I know. No, actually, the comfortable bed is not meant for sleeping. It's meant for joining. But they don't tell you that. But they know that this is the reason why people want soft bed. Anyway, that's another topic. It has improved the quality of fearing by various defense measures, which are exacting more than 50% of human energy, with the ultimate result that it has invented the atomic bomb. You know, the atomic bomb, they exploded it in 1945. So this is 1953, not even 10 years later. So the atomic bomb was very much, people were aware of the threat of what an atomic bomb can do. It has invented the atomic bomb, which facilitates the dying process of the human being. None of the scientific discoveries can save the man from the cruel hands of death. It has improved the method of sense gratification by inventing cinematographic pictures, photographic sounds, wireless radios, horseless carriages, and similar other illusory things on the one hand. Just like here in India, they're selling all these new cars, big cars, very comfortable, very nice, but unfortunately they don't have the roads for the cars to go on. In their rush to have nice cars, they forgot, oh, the car has to go on the road. On the one hand, it has improved the dressing method of the fair sex, which gratifies the sense enjoyment lust of human being. They call it fashion. The Indian system is very simple. You just take a piece of cloth and wrap it. Bas. Sari, dhoti. The market is full with the advertisements of pictures. You know, those clothes, those fashion clothes, they're very expensive. Tens of thousands of dollars for an outfit. Can you imagine to spend $10,000 for a pant and coat or dress? That's why the Indian, when the film stars, when they go to the film shows, the fashion shows, and they wear sari, oh, people are shocked. Because the clothes are not tailored. Be careful, this boy. Who does he belong to? He's Brahmachari. He's the fifth Kumara. The market is full with the advertisements of pictures of beautiful women for selling such sense gratifying articles as varieties of toilets, jewelries, saris, medicines, contraceptives, and similar other materials. And to maintain this animal type of civilization for the benefit of a handful men of demoniac principles, 95% people of the human race is chained up to become victims of this wrong type of civilization devoid of spiritual value. There is no peace, even now, in the villagers' life, because the innocent villagers are also being attracted by the glamour of the polished type of animal civilization. And that also for the benefit of 5% contending polished demons. As such, 95% of the innocent human being is suffering from the pains of this animal civilization. The League of Devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhagavat Samaj, stands to protect both this 5% polished demons as well as the 95% innocent victims for real freedom and blessed life. It does not propose to stop the animal necessities of life, namely eating, sleeping, fearing, and sense gratifying process, but it proposes to check the one-sided imbalance of life without consideration of spiritual value. So the process is not to renounce everything, go in the forest, live under the tree, or live in the cave in the Himalayas. No. Just to correct the imbalance. Life is, after all, spirit. And upon the spiritual foundation, subtle matters like intelligence and mind and gross matters like the material encagement of the body have developed according to one's desire and inclination, the law of karma. This desire and inclination has overpowered the spirit soul in such a manner that it cannot get rid of the influence of the external energy of the absolute truth by its own effort without enlightenment. It is a mistake to identify spirit soul either with the gross matters, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, or with the subtle matter, mind, intelligence, and ego, because both of them are produced of the external energy of Godhead. Living entity being the product of spiritual divine nature or internal energy of Godhead, spirit soul, or living entity is qualitatively equivalent with Godhead. It is not therefore possible to manufacture such living being in the laboratory of material science. We need now to open a laboratory of spiritual science where research in the divine nature of living entity can be made and thereby ascertain the real necessities of the spirit soul which governs the material world. This can be evolved for the peace and prosperity of the living being who is in essence spirit and not matter. Let us now find out the divine nature of the living entity. So this perspective, Prabhupada is also preaching. Anyone who would read this would become convinced. The process of manipulating such spiritual laboratory to make research in the divine nature of the living being is clearly defined in the Bhagavad Gita, and its practical demonstrator is Lord Chaitanya. The League of Devotees wants to bring in practical use these two big transcendental subjects in prominence for the benefit of human society at large. The League of Devotees considers, on the authority of the Bhagavad Gita, every living being as part and parcel of Godhead. Every living being is impregnated by Godhead himself in the womb of Mother Material Nature, and thus it becomes possible to see the different living entities born in the material world. Every living being is therefore a divine child of the Almighty Father, and all of them, never mind in whatsoever form they may be, are divine brothers in the kingdom of God. All these statements are all taken from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada is not inventing these. Having forgotten that transcendental relation, eternally fixed up, the living entity is struggling for existence in the material world, bewildered with the result that in every step of life, he is baffled in his attempt to become a happy creature. He does not know that such material attempt for existence will never be successful, and it is only by divine attempt that one can eternally be free from the bondage of birth, death, and insufficiency. The human form of life is a chance to realize this fact. The human being now must therefore try to know his relation with the absolute truth. He must now learn to spend up his energy in accordance with that eternal relation, and ultimately must attain to the highest perfection of life by achieving the spontaneous love of Godhead. This present state of perverted love for material products is only sense gratification, but spontaneous love of Godhead is real transcendental existence. So spontaneous love of Godhead, this is rasa. They said Prabhupada is not preaching rasa. Here's rasa. Such love of Godhead can bring in real happiness for the human being. If the human being wastes the opportunity of the human form of life, he is sure to go down again in the cycle of animal evolutionary process in search of false material happiness. The League of Devotees therefore stands to save the human being at large from going down again in the cycle of animal life, and wants to raise him to the position of transcendental loving servitor of Godhead, which is his eternal birthright, as he is the divine child of Godhead. The League of Devotees, after deliberate consideration of authoritative scriptures for spiritual science, has put forward the following aims and objects in view for the society. So here are the points, the characteristics of the society. A, to propagate spiritual knowledge systematically for checking the imbalance of life to the whole race of India and the world all over, with a view to educate the people in general in the techniques of spiritual life as the basis for balanced psychic and biological developments of the human race, and therefore achieve real unity and peace of the contending elements of the present world. And Prabhupada was very disappointed. First, after World War II, they formed the League of Nations to make peace in the world. Then that failed. So after League of Nations, then they made... That's probably where Prabhupada got this League of Devotees, from the League of Nations. Then they made the United Nations. And that also has failed. It hasn't made peace in the world. Prabhupada spoke a lot about the United Nations. B, to build up a social structure on the foundation of spiritual progress and establishment of peace and amity between man and man throughout the whole world. Amity, who knows what amity means?
Friendship.
Yeah. Amiable. Be friendly. See, to propagate the sense of Godhead, who is one and the absolute, who is the fountainhead of all opulences, all powers, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all indifference. Huh? Very good. Very good. Yes, renunciation. Who is the creator of everything that is visible and not visible in the manifested world or beyond, who is therefore the original protector and enjoyer of everything that be everywhere in the greater society of human race. D. To bring together members individually to one another and nearer to Godhead, who is the prime entity, and the individual souls are infinitesimal entities, and humanity at large, that individual souls being part and parcel in quantity of Godhead, in quality of Godhead, the absolute whole, they, the individual souls, are meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme Soul Godhead as revealed in the scriptures. So that's what society means, to bring people together. There are all kinds of societies because people want to join together and befriend. So this is a spiritual society. E. To save man individually from the system of chain victimization by the trend of modern civilization of false sentiments, so that man may again be a free soul to act and live freely an inspired life with spiritual vision. This is possible by individual spiritual initiation through the proper channel, when a man can see everything in Godhead and Godhead in everything. Of course, when Prabhupada says man, he doesn't just mean man and not woman. He means man in the generic sense, like mankind. F. To imbibe and develop in the mind of the individual soul the all-attractive personality of Godhead Sri Krishna in his primeval and eternal form as he has revealed himself in his own words, the Bhagavad Gita. He has to be known all over the world in the manner as revealed by Lord Chaitanya, who practically demonstrated the transcendental process of approaching the absolute Godhead by his acts of congregational chanting of the holy name of Godhead. There is nothing in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya which is not intelligible by human reasoning or is against any religious feeling accepted by the civilized society of the world. G. To prove it practically by active work and preaching that Sri Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the outcome of everyone's sacrifice, penance, meditation, arts, culture, science, because he is the supreme proprietor of the whole universe and eternal friend of everybody. Real peace is possible to be obtained when this is realized in fact. Such supermundane state of existence is called divine life. This supermental state of divine life is described in the Ishupanishad as follows: Ishubhasyam idam sarvam yat kinchat jagadyam jagat tena taktena bunjitaha magridaha kasyachit janam. H. To propagate and realize the highest truth as revealed by Lord Chaitanya through his philosophy known as Achinta Veda Veda Tatva. Everything simultaneously, one and different from the Absolute Truth. And other allied books of knowledge, as revealed by the six authorized disciple Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan. I, to re-excavate and or reclaim the body, the holy places of transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, as well as the places where his devotees flourished, including the various temples of worship. So Prabhupada is establishing the holy places. A temple, Prabhupada saw the temple as a holy place, no matter where it was situated. And all of Krishna's activities are going on within that place. That's why Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna that the entire spiritual world is within this compound. To prepare the groundwork of spiritual atmosphere for the people in general by Sankirtan movement, as it is recommended in the scriptures and as propounded by the father of the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya. K. To undertake civic enterprises which do not come in conflict with the ideals and missions of the League with all principles in view. That's interesting. L. To arrange lectures and discourses by eminent devotees for the benefit of the members of the League and send missionary for this purpose in all parts of the world to recruit members of the League. So Prabhupada was thinking, he was in Jhansi. Jhansi is a second tier city of India. It's not a major city. But Prabhupada was thinking the whole world. When I joined Prabhupada, that was in August 1966, and subsequently thereafter, you know, I couldn't understand why Prabhupada is calling this society International Society. Where's the international? We're on the Lower East Side, in the poorest place in New York. We never went above 14th Street. And we just, you know, preaching to hippies and in a shop. And yet Prabhupada was saying international. And I said, where's the international? And frankly, you know, I doubted. I said, well, Prabhupada's exaggerating. There's no international. And it'll never will become international. I had such a, like the frog in the well. He thinks the well, oh, this is the Atlantic Ocean. M. To open free mail services to advise by post in respect of inquiries made to the League on spiritual subjects. Prabhupada was doing this in New York. Very active, sending mail to He was sending back the Godheads, and we would, Garga Muni used to do this. Any newspaper article about Prabhupada, we would reprint that and then mail them out to, I know I used to mail them out to journalists, newspapers, TV stations, and scholars, politicians. I mean, we used to send it to everyone. And to make the League an international organization for spiritual development through education and culture, also by recruiting members of the League from all nationalities. Oh, to revoke the quality of goodness, particularly sattva-gun, in every member of the League individually by the process of spiritual initiation, diksha, by establishing him in the status of a qualified Brahmin, good and intellectual man, on the basis of truthfulness, forgiveness, equality, tolerance, education, purity, knowledge, specific and general, and faith in the transcendental service of Godhead. To accept membership of all orders of life, namely brahmachari, unmarried scholars fully devoted to the service of Godhead, grihasthas, married householders living with family and devoted to the service of Godhead, vanaprasthas, retired householders not living with family but devoted to the service of Godhead, and sannyasis or tyagis, retired householders fully renounced to the service of Godhead without any family attachment. To initiate members in the rules of the Goswamis above mentioned by controlling over 1, an illegitimate connection with women, 2, intoxicating habit, 3, diets regulated with vegetable dishes, and 4, gambling, unnecessary sporting or recreational enterprises. The League of Devotees invites every individual member of the human society to become a constituent member of the society and learn there of the spiritual techniques in perfect order. The Bhagavad Gita is recognized all over the world. This great book of knowledge is the basis of spiritual techniques. The League of Devotees requests all people of the world to make a sincere study of this book of knowledge without malified interpretations and learn from it about our divine relation with the personality of Godhead. God is great, is known to all, but he is so great that it is impossible for the tiny brain of the living entity to have a clear conception of Godhead, as he is therefore to attempt to know God and his huge affairs of diverse energy by dint of our own knowledge acquired by imperfect senses of limited potency is always a futile attempt. If we want to know God and our eternal divine relation with him, we must know it from Godhead himself as he reveals himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Let us not misunderstand this great book of spiritual significance by our imperfect empirical knowledge, but let us learn it from him alone or from his devotee recognized by him. The League of Devotees will give all help to you by personal touch, by literature, by instruction, and by correspondence. I like that. It will give you all help by personal touch. And that's what Prabhupada did. Do not leave the opportunity. Make your life perfect by contacting our relation. So far payment is concerned, it is immaterial. If you are unable to pay the membership fee, still the League of Devotees will not deny its utmost services unto you. Because the League of Devotees is pledged to serve the supreme will of Godhead, and by faith it stands to serve you, at least for bringing you nearer to Godhead. But if you are able to pay, do not try to avoid the membership fee. Yeah, Prabhupada did this when I wanted a set of books. See?
This is my story. He always steals my stories. No, I was bar mitzvahed and I got these savings bonds when I was 13. And they were supposed to mature after 7 years. But I cashed them in early because I wanted to give the money to Prabhupada. And it was very difficult for me to get them because my mother and my father didn't want me to cash them in. But anyway, I cashed them in and I gave them all to Prabhupada. And in those days, it was very rare for people to donate, you know, $1,500 right off the bat. Usually we got $5, $10, you know, at night. Prabhupada would pass around the basket. And people would put coins. So after I gave the money to Prabhupada, I wanted him to give me a personalized set of the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam. He brought 700 sets with him in his trunks, in the steel trunks from India. So after I gave the money, then I asked Prabhupada, can you give me a set of Bhagavatams? He said, oh, that is extra. And I go, I just gave you everything. I was thinking, I just gave everything I had, and I got to pay extra. You know? So, you know, I had some money in my pocket, and, you know, Prabhupada showed me the Bhagavatams, and it said 16 rupees, you know, for each volume, so it was 48 rupees. So I asked Prabhupada, what is that equivalent in dollars? And he said, no, that is $16, not 16 rupees. So I got a double whammy, a double hitter. So Prabhupada was very expert in getting donations, and he thought up many novel ways, which I continued later on in my devotional service, especially in Calcutta, by making members simply by giving Australian ghee, which people in India didn't have access to in those days. So Prabhupada told me that this was a bona fide way of making members, because he used to go with his godbrothers and they would solicit funds, and Prabhupada said he used to laugh because they would tell fantastic stories about Bhaktisiddhanta, how he used to live in the forest and do miracles and all these fantastic things. And Prabhupada laughed and he said, yes, we can tell these type of things just to engage people's money in the service of the Lord. So I did it in the same way in making members in Calcutta by offering them ghee and other things. And in this way we continued.
Okay, let me...
So yeah, finish.
So every pie... What's a pie? Yeah. They used to have it in India. Do they still have it? Paisa. Now everything is rupee. But they used to have paisa. And the shortened was pie. Every pie, that's correct. Every pie paid to this institution is engaged in transcendental service of Godhead, and it is our duty to engage our life, money, intelligence, and words in the transcendental loving service of Godhead. If we want it all to realize God and thereby make a perfection of this human form of life. In conclusion, it may be said that the aims and objects of this institution, the League of Devotees, are not man-made ideologies, but they are picked up from the original treasure house of India's spiritual culture, attained by the great rishis and acharyas, who transcended the conditional stage of existence, and such spiritual experience is recorded in Sanskrit language. As such, it is now necessary that men of culture all over the world may learn and read Sanskrit language, the mother of all other languages of the Aryan stock. The League of Devotees, therefore, will maintain a Sanskrit academy and a degree college specially for the purpose of disseminating the benefit of this great language to all. Scholars from all countries will be welcome to remain as inmate of the institution if they agree to abide by the rules and regulations of the institution. There is scope for admitting free students also by special arrangement. After political independence of India, the state language should have been made Sanskrit, but it has not been so. Formerly, though Sanskrit language was not known, India achieved independence in, 1947. So, Prabhupada is writing, this is 1953, so this is only 6 years later. So he was lamenting that they made Hindi the official language, isn't it?
But later.
Oh yeah, so maybe they were just discussing. Anyway, Prabhupada says they didn't make Sanskrit. As a result of this, there was a strong sense of cultural unity of the ruling classes, that is the Brahmin and the Kshatriya, who were followed by the Vaishyas and Sudras. The spoken languages of India was, as usual, always different over district after district, but due to the cultural unity of the people through the written Sanskrit language, there was no question of provincial or narrow rivalries. So my Sanskrit was the lingua franca, the uniting force of all the different other languages in India. If Sanskrit language is therefore made again the written language of India, the cultural unity of India will not only be more strengthened than ever, but also it will be participated by the enlightened people of the world. The League of Devotees aims in this perfection for the objective of spiritual and cultural advancement. Om Tat Sat, and here's Prabhupada's name, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta, founder and secretary. So this is 1953. You know, some people say Prabhupada got the Bhaktivedanta title when he took sannyas in the Gaudiya Math, because that was their process. you became Bhaktivedanta when you took sannyas in Mathura. That's why they say BV, you know, Muni Maharaj. BV means Bhaktivedanta. But Prabhupada already had the title Bhaktivedanta way before sannyas. Prabhupada took sannyas, what, 1959? This is 1953. Prabhupada is not even in Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada was given the Bhaktivedanta title by an assembly of devotees. Dated at Jhansi the day of Akshaya Tritiya, the 16th May 1953. Where's Kusha? She's the astrologer, no? What is that?
It's a very important day to start things.
Oh,
to
yeah?
Begin things. Generally, it's considered even for planting, but generally, things will considered be very successful if you start on that day. Akshaya Tritiya.
Thank you. So, any question? Everybody happy?
Did Prabhupada have a society of membership, a lot of members? Or was there some membership there?
Yes. In Jhansi, he was at this place, this Bharti Bhavan. He was getting a group of professionals. They're doctors, lawyers, and different people like that, and he had a very good following, and they were joining his society, and then what happened is that the governor's wife, the governor was K.M. Munshi, and the governor's wife, Lalita, I think her name was Lalita Munshi, she wanted this facility. She had some Stri Samiti. What is Stri Samiti? Huh? The ladies club, you know, where you come and gossip. The gossiping society. So she wanted this facility, and because she was the governor's wife, she had the power, and she influenced the owner of the property to no longer rent it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had to leave. And it's interesting is that later on K.M. Munshi and his wife, they moved to Bombay, and they founded the Bharti Vidya Bhavan, which was a big institution, and they were publishing many books, you know, Mayavadi books. And when Prabhupada was in Bombay, then they wanted to sell their press to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada met them and told her, well, you want to sell me your press, but your press is old-fashioned. We're using the linotype, metal type. And I only, my press is always the offset, you know, modern press. So in this way, they were humiliated by Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very successful in money. So whereas previously they... Anyway, that's a long story. And that Bharti Vidya Bhavan, I think, is right next to the Chopadi temple. You want to say something?
Did Srila Prabhupada commemorate that day after 66? And did he ask us to commemorate that special day?
I can't hear. What did she say?
Did Srila Prabhupada commemorate that day, that special day of this incorporation of ISKCON? Yes, but my question is, did Srila Prabhupada commemorate that special day, like today? After?
No.
Prabhupada,
it was just a formality.
Yeah,
registration is just, you know, means you're recognized by the government. So we're not concerned with the government.
No, actually, the big day, I remember when we got it, because I was a treasurer, is when we got the tax exemption. Prabhupada was very happy.
Yes.
Because that took a long time, 3-4 months. And it was important because if people gave donations, they could write it off their taxes. And Prabhupada was very thrilled when he said, you keep this paper nicely, he told me.
Yeah. And we used that tax exemption. It was a certificate issued by the Internal Revenue Service.
Whenever we went shopping, we showed it.
Yeah.
We didn't pay the sales tax.
Right.
Which was not real.
But we reproduced that certificate, and we used to include it with the newspaper articles and all to show that we were bona fide. That was the main preaching in those early days. To show that Krishna consciousness is bona fide. It's not an invention. Yes? You can take out your things. Put them on the table.
So Prabhakar Mishra joined Prabhupada in Jhansi.
Who?
Prabhakar Mishra.
You know Prabhakar Acharya?
Yeah. I mean, he's writing a book. I heard that there's a book about him.
Oh, there's a book about him?
Yeah, so he's our Prabhupada's first disciple in India. I joined him in Jhansi.
Yes.
So, there's a book.
What was his name? Prabhakaran.
Prabhakar Mishra.
Prabhakaran Mishra. I once met him in the airport. He was a big Sanskritist. But, I don't know, he lost interest or something. And, when I met him, I was telling him, oh, please come and join. You know, this was maybe 1974, so. I think he came to see Prabhupada once or twice. But he was a Brahmin. He couldn't accept that, you know, Milechas could become devotees. He had some you know, racial attitude. Any other? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Did Srila Prabhupada gift his Bhagavatam sets? As far as I heard, he brought 700 Bhagavatam sets with him to USA. So did he gift it to some of the early devotees, or he did the book distribution to all the early devotees?
You're asking if Prabhupada gifted the Bhagavatam set to people?
Any of the early devotees, early disciples?
No, he never gifted. Paisa, paisa.
What about you, Prabhu? To you also?
I had to pay. I donated all my money to Prabhupada. But the books were extra. So Prabhupada, he gave me the books. He said, okay, you don't have money now, you pay me later. That he used to do. And $16, it was $16.80. That was a lot of money in those days. Because you know, a gallon of gasoline, petrol, was 25 cents. And to ride on the bus was 15 cents. We're talking about cents. And Prabhupada's charging almost $17. That was a lot of money. So now we're charging money here, rupees, and you can get all Prabhupada's media, all his books. What do you have?
Prabhupada's dictation of Krishna books, 490 chapters.
You know, Prabhupada dictated his books into a machine, into a recorder. He didn't write them. He spoke them. So we have the recordings, the original recordings.
We have all the 150 devotees who use all their memories of Prabhupada on video. All the miracles Prabhupada did. Anybody wants to hear miracles?
Okay, anyway, so we'll end it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.